Huawei begins cloning Apple parts and rewards its employees for it. Etsy users get bank accounts flushed in major storefront confusion, and Facebook keeps digging its grave even further. All of this and more here. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Tech. Everybody, welcome back. Episode 3. I'm super excited for this one. I have some really good news stories for you today. So let's start with the first thing that actually caught my attention. As soon as I saw the news article, it caught my attention and I wanted to share it with you guys. It's about Huawei. Okay, so let me give you a little backstory on Huawei. So Huawei is a telephone company, as far as I know, and it's basically the competition to Apple's iPhone and Samsung's Galaxy. It's basically around the first top smartphone manufacturers, and they've been recently been linked by the US government for espionage. And it's not only in the US government, but also in the UK government as well. So around the world, they're being saying that, oh, they're in charge of Chinese espionage, and the government is using Huawei as a means to espionage in terms of other people, and they're not looking too good about it. And just now, on February 18th, a news article came out saying that Huawei's cloning Apple parts and rewarding employees for tech theft. This is very bad looking for Huawei. If they want to clean up their image, this is really bad for them, because now they're being linked to actually not only espionage, but also copying. And it's not just Apple. You'll see what I mean in just one second, so let's get into it. The article says in here, China's Huawei uses dubious tactics to try to reverse engineer technology from Apple and other competitors in the electronics market, a report charged on Monday. In November, for example, a Huawei engineer heading up smartwatch development tracked down a supplier that helps build the Apple Watch's heart rate sensor. It continues to say that the person arranged a meeting with the claim that he could offer a manufacturing contract, but instead probed for details about the Apple Watch, an anonymous executive at the supplier said. Now, this comes as a very troubling news, at least to me, because that means that Huawei is not only, if the charges are true, they're not only in charge of espionage, but also copying from other suppliers, you know, trying to get an edge in the electronics market by stealing ideas. And it continues to say that it's used similar tactics with companies like Cisco, Motorola, and Aiken Semiconductor. Now, I don't know much about Aiken Semiconductor, but I can certainly tell you about Cisco and Motorola. Cisco is basically one of the top companies in terms for networking supplies like access points, which are devices that repeat the Wi-Fi signal from a distance. They can capture a signal from Wi-Fi and repeat it, basically amplifying their power and continuing to expand the range. Motorola is the phone company as well, just like Samsung and Apple. And if this is not the first time that they're doing this, this is very bad. And they have several sources that say that it has happened with all of those, and even the US Department of Justice has claimed that Huawei has a program that rewards employees for stealing data, and it gives better bonuses based on how big and how confidential this information is. I must say, this is looking very bad for Huawei. If they're trying to clean up their image, they're not doing a really good job. If reports like this come out at a normal basis, it's gonna kill them. And this is not something that is very common in terms of Apple and Samsung, like the major tech companies. Usually what they do is like, oh, well, you have this technology, I want it too, so I'm gonna buy it. You know, they actually say, oh, I want to invest in this. And they actually get that technology, you know? They're not stealing it, they're not looking for it in order to later use them for their own devices, you know? For example, recently, Apple has been looking into Qualcomm for their processors. and for their receivers for 5G. Like I said in the last episode, that Apple and AT&T are actually getting into some troubles because of it, because saying that 5G, they're using 5G network, when in reality 5G network isn't still fully out. So if you want to listen to that, go listen to the second episode of this podcast. Hey, cheeky plug right there. So going back to the story, the major tech companies, what they do is they buy the stuff that they're going to use for their cell phones or for their devices, you know? They don't just go around stealing them, because that's bad for business, you know? If they find out, that's going to be bad for business. So what they do is they buy their equipment and they assemble it in their factories. And what Huawei is doing is basically trying to undercut that and trying to build them themselves. I get it that you want to save a few bucks, but come on, man. This is a very bad position that you're getting yourself into, because you're basically telling the whole world, hey, I'm here, I'm going to steal your information, I'm going to steal your stuff if you're not careful. Now, that proves a big challenge later on, because many people are getting into the 5G networks. Like I've been saying before, like the 5G is coming. And aside from the trouble that Apple and AT&T are getting themselves into for trying to advertise it ahead of time, Samsung, on the other hand, has already gotten their upper hand in that, meaning that they have equipments that are already going to be out in the market or are already in the market, but they're only waiting for 5G to be activated. And Huawei has been doing the rounds, gathering information to try and undercut that process, get ahead of the curve, not in the best way possible. So it continues to say that another alleged tactic is talking to people who formerly worked with Apple or its supply chain. And this is an account for someone who was interviewed by Huawei. In one case, a person interviewed with Huawei immediately after leaving Apple, only to be repeatedly asked about upcoming products and features. They refused and stopped taking interviews. And the person goes on to say, it was clear that they were more interested in trying to learn about Apple than they were about hiring me. So that you can see this, that it's not about getting the insider information, is that they're going for people who recently either quit or that are going for their supply chain. So they're gathering information in terms of the materials that they're being supplied. But that's not only that. And due to that, and due to many other accounts from before, they're getting bombarded by the governments so that they stop getting materials to build their 5G infrastructure from Huawei, based on the cyber attacks that the Chinese government has done to the US, and based on the claims that the Chinese is giving materials to the US and equipment to the US that have like taps or wires, well, quote unquote wires, they have like recording devices on them that are basically in there to infiltrate and gather information, which, based on the Chinese government's tactics and behaviors in the last few years, I wouldn't be surprised if they find out that Huawei is doing the same thing. It's not to rub dirt on Huawei or anything, but honestly, this is looking very bad for them. They should really get their stuff together. Honestly, if they want to get a foot into the 5G infrastructure market, which is bound to come, they better get their stuff together. They better stop doing this. Otherwise, it's going to look very bad for them, and nobody will want to do business with them. And that's not good for any company, because if no one wants to do business with you, you're dead. You're going to go bankrupt very soon. And you don't want that. You want your business to flourish. So Huawei, take my advice. Don't do it. Stick to normal protocols, stick to buying your stuff, stick to investing in your equipment, and then you can go and have another foothold in the smartphone world if that's what you want to focus on. And stop stealing stuff from other people. Please, create your own stuff, and if it doesn't work, then keep improving. Look for what goes best. Look for your mojo, you know? Don't try to cap on other people's mojos for that. You know, get your own. Well, all right. Well, we'll be back with more tech news here on The Cutting Edge Tech, so don't go anywhere. And And we are back, everybody. Thank you so much for being here with me on the Cutting Edge Tech. So we continue our news stories with Etsy. So for those of you who don't know, there's many platforms that, you know, sell stuff. For example, Amazon, eBay, Wish, AliExpress, and Etsy. Those are to name a few of the most widely popular ones, the ones that most people know about. And Etsy focuses mainly on stuff that are handmade crafts and small batch products, you know, stuff that are very, you know, small, but have a good amount of price held up to them. I've been, you know, researching on Etsy, seeing, there was a time where I researched for a few stuff on Etsy, and they were pretty high, but they were really good quality, and everything was handmade, so that's hence the price. I'm talking about upwards of thousands of dollars, but that's not what I'm going to focus on today. Today, I'm going to focus on something that happened to the people selling on Etsy. So, something occurred for the Etsy sellers, and the title of this article says, Etsy sellers say their bank accounts were emptied in major billing snafu. So, a major oops from Etsy. So, the people who sell crafts and other goods on Etsy, I'm quoting the article, an e-commerce site focused on handmade and small batch products, say they woke up to a nasty surprise Friday morning when thousands of dollars were withdrawn from the bank accounts and credit cards sellers are required to have on file in order to have an Etsy storefront. So basically, they, you know that in order to sell or to buy stuff in all these places, you need to have a credit card or a debit card or a bank account linked to that account in order for you to actually sell and buy stuff. And the sellers actually woke up to the nasty surprise to the tune of a few hundred dollars to tens of thousands of dollars that were basically withdrawn from their accounts by Etsy. Oh God, that is a very big mistake from Etsy. And it continues to say here that some of the attempted withdrawals were blocked by the sellers' banks and credit card companies, resulting in canceled cards and frozen accounts, but others went through, leaving those sellers with empty checking accounts, overdrafts, and over-the-limit fees, and a whole lot of questions. I can imagine that they might have a whole lot of questions based on what just happened to their bank accounts. I mean, if you woke up in the morning and you had, for example, you had $10,000 in your bank account, and from all the things that you were selling and the things that you were doing and selling on Etsy, and then all of a sudden the next day you wake up in the morning and feeling like, oh, I'm gonna check my bank account, and all of a sudden you have a notification on your phone that, hey, your bank card has been canceled or your account has been frozen for this activity, and then when you see it, you're like, all your money is gone. Like, what? I would totally be in complete distress. And honestly, this is something that is very bad because it highlights the security flaws and it highlights the potential risk of basically having your bank accounts completely emptied, just like it happened here on Etsy, having your bank accounts completely empty, and then they give such a... In all honesty, I read this article, and in all honesty, this is a very bad excuse from them. It says here, we're aware of a bill payment error affecting a small group of sellers which resulted in some cards being incorrectly charged. We don't expect this error to impact additional sellers going forward. For affected sellers, we're very sorry for the trouble and concern this may have caused, and we are currently working to make things right. We'll update the impacted sellers directly as we have more information. What? Excuse me, I just got my bank account either frozen or emptied by your mistake. And you're expecting me to actually wait until you give the money back to me? Like tens of thousands or maybe hundreds or thousands of dollars that you took from me by mistake, and you're expecting me to be calm about it? Like, no, man. I'm gonna be like all over you. I'm gonna be like, give me my money back or we're gonna have problems. They say that I continue reading this article, and the article updated not too long ago on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. It updated again. And it said that they did get an answer back, and they said that the money has been transferred to their accounts. And to be perfectly honest, this is not something that should ever happen going forward. Etsy, get your stuff together. Make sure that you have very good security measures so that this doesn't happen. Make sure that whatever protocols you use for getting that money, whatever type of middleman you use, because they're always bound to be something that as a go-between between the bank accounts, the storefronts, and then the platform itself. You're supposed to have something in between. It's a pretty given thing nowadays for big websites and big companies to have something as a go-between. It's very rare that you see a bank account that goes directly through to Amazon, for example, or through to eBay. Usually it's under a PayPal account, or it has to go through MasterCard and then go to over to Amazon. It's a process. It's very rare for you to have something directly into it, because that presents a security risk. And I understand that they want to have that in between, but make sure that doesn't happen again, Etsy, for your own good, for your own sake. Well, alrighty, so we'll be right back with some more news here on the Cutting Edge Tech. Don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back. Once again, thank you so much for being here with me, and let's continue on the Facebook trend that they have going on lately. So apparently a column written in The Guardian by Simon Jenkins, The Guardian, for those of you who don't know, is a UK-based paper, and it says, the title says, Facebook is out of control and politicians have no idea what to do. Yes, politicians could have some idea what to do. Regulate the heck out of it. Make sure he doesn't get any more data than he's already collecting. It's that simple, politicians. If you don't know that, then you are the ones that have a problem. Like, make sure to regulate every single aspect of Facebook. Make him stop gathering data. That's how you make him get in line and get under control. That's how you do it. It's that simple, politicians. Just like I said, it's that simple. But we'll continue on the story. Don't worry about it. We'll continue on it. As long as they give me more, hey, I'm willing to go again and keep ramming it down. All right, so it says here, it starts saying death threats, bullying, mental torture, privacy invasion, election rigging, fake news, monopoly abuse. As was said of a medieval pope, this is merely to suppress more serious charges. It is hard to recall the social media of 15 years ago and its offer of universal love, democracy, and global peace. Britain's parliament has finally caught up, and today's Commons report is at least unequivocal. A menace stalks the land and must be curbed. Okay, so basically the Commons report is referring to the paper. But they're right. Like, they're saying those things to curb a major, more serious charge. And the thing is that Facebook has already rubbed the people the wrong way in terms of the government. In terms of USA, he has done it. In terms of Germany, he's done it. And Germany is the one that's putting the most pressure right now into getting him under control, into getting Facebook under control. And now Britain is joining in the fight. It continues to say that some of the report's accusations are astonishing. Facebook purposely obstructed the committee. Its boss, Mark Zuckerberg, who continues to choose profit over data security, held Parliament in contempt. His rambling empire is portrayed as lying, thieving, digital gangsterism. Yet British electoral law is puny. It is unfit for purpose, leaving elections vulnerable to foreign influence, disinformation, and voter manipulation. Not a week passes without evidence that cybersecurity is inadequate, and public services have been left vulnerable to hacking. So basically, you're going off on a tangent here that the cybersecurity in your country is bad. Sure, it is not perfect in any country whatsoever. Like, cybersecurity is one evolving topic. You're supposed to keep up with the times, because people will eventually crack into your code, people will eventually know how to get inside, and that's what keeps cybersecurity. That's why you have to keep your cybersecurity up at least three steps ahead of the people that are actually doing the hacking, or at least cracking your code. Like, no cybersecurity is perfect. No place on earth is completely hacker-proof. Many people have said it, and they end up getting hacked. That's the thing. You can't say something is hacker-proof because someone will prove you wrong. Nothing is completely hacker-proof. It could be hacker-resistant, but it's not hacker-proof. Let's get that out of the way. The report continues to say that the Germans are so ahead of Britain that they have Facebook staff fact-checking frantically, taking down material. America is steeling itself for a monopoly-busting assault on Silicon Valley. The Russians are running wild round the regulators. The Chinese are pioneering web repatriation, in effect blocking anything they consider unsuitable. Much of this is not nice for purists, but it must be full of lessons. The running joke among social media pundits is that regulation is so far behind technology and profit as to be out of sight. He's right. Like, everybody here, the Germans, United States, like I said, Germany, United States, Russia, and Chinese are putting a stop to it. Well, in their own way, because Russia is just like going around it, and the Chinese government is just repatriatizing its own internet. So basically, whatever they don't think it's deemable for their own country, their own government agenda, they won't put it. But that's something else entirely. Let's talk about the countries that actually put cybersecurity into one of their core stuff. For example, Germany has already doubled down on Facebook, and they said, you can't do this. You are not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to collect data from third-party websites in order to use it to target advertisements for the users. That's not going to happen on us. The Americans, they already doubled down on Mark Zuckerberg. They already doubled down on it, and it said, you better stop doing this or we're going to do something about it. And in Britain, they're also starting to do this. But in Britain, apparently, it's a little bit more slower than in other countries. But that doesn't mean they're starting to get on the same page, which is good, because that's one of the things that has to be done. We have to make sure that these giants from the social media don't get that data. They don't get that amount of freedom to prowl around what we do and basically say, oh, so he likes to do this. Well, let's give him some ads for this. That is not the way things work. Like I said in previous episodes, that is invasion of privacy. That is a no-no. You're not supposed to do this. Come on, guys. Get it together and make sure your cybersecurity stays ahead of the curve, and make sure to regulate these social media giants. Facebook basically controls most of it, so make sure you regulate the big fish. If you regulate the big fish, the little fish will fall in line. Trust me, because if you get the biggest guy around, you're going to make the smaller fries get in line. Otherwise, they're going to suffer the same fate. They're going to look at the big fish and say, oh, I don't want to be that way, so I better get in line. I want to stay ahead of the curve. Let him get all the brunt of the force. I want to stay relevant, so I'm going to do stuff the right way. I'm going to stay in line so I don't get into trouble. And that's how you do it. That's how you regulate these big corporations. You make sure that they abide by the law and that they stop snooping on us. It's that simple. That's all you got to do. And the column from Simon Jenkins ends in a way that it's actually very interesting to me. It says here, one thing is for sure, in years to come, the present, painful, stumbling, inept steps towards regulating cyberspace will seem laughable. The only question is how much damage will be done before this vast monopolistic industry is brought to heel. That is a very good question. How far are the governments willing to wait in order for this to actually be brought down and actually be stopped in its tracks? So far, some governments are doing their best to stop it in these times right now, but not everybody is willing to do the same, and not everybody's equipped to do the same. We can at least slow this down. We can at least slow this down and make it harder for them to actually pry on the information that they so want to get in order to target their advertisements. Guys, if you want to do advertising, just look at what TV does, alright? Just look at what TV does. Get the highest bidder, get the highest paying advertiser, you know, that they say, oh, I want my product to be advertised. Well, okay, how much are you willing to pay? Just like in TV. They pay for their advertisements to be broadcast on TV. Well, you guys do the same, and that way you don't have to snoop on other people's data. And that's looking like a faraway thing, because now TVs, there's news and rumors going around that the TVs will have the same thing, which is very, very, very unnerving, because that means that even on TVs, we're not going to be safe. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but if it does, I will be there. I will tell you about it. So don't worry. We'll see where that goes. But if that happens, that means that an invasion of privacy has gotten way out of control. I just hope that it doesn't. Alrighty. Well, we'll be right back with some more of the cutting edge tech. And this is going to be a very interesting segment. So don't go anywhere. Alrighty, and we are back here on the Cutting Edge Tech. So this segment is going to be a little bit different. This time I'm going to give you a news article that I found on Forbes.com, which is actually very interesting. So I'm going to give you a little backstory on this one because, alright, I am a very big fan of astronomy. I love astronomy. I love space. Like, I think it's one of the greatest undiscovered places in the world. There's so much things to discover. There's a lot of places to go to. And we are limited only by our technology. And I know that someday we might not be alive for this, and I'm very sad, but someday we might be able to go to other planets and colonize them and maybe get human life to more places. Or maybe not even get human life into more places, but just discover new stuff. Just the idea of discovering new stuff is amazing to me. Like new stuff on the astronomical background that we have right now. And this is a bit of a sad news for me because recently NASA has deployed two explorations to Mars. One is the Opportunity, and that one shut down. Unfortunately, it was hit by a storm. And it shut down, and it's quite sad because at least the piece on Forbes.com puts it a little bit on a somber note. It reads, "Last week we said a somber goodbye to NASA's Opportunity rover, which has been active on Mars for almost 15 years. So what better way to remember the mission than by looking at the last image it ever sent home?" So, and it continues to say that the Opportunity landed on Mars on the 25th of January 2004. And the most interesting about this is that both Mars rovers, were supposed to last only 90 days. Just 90 days. And it lasted 15 years. Like, that is insane. Both of them lasted a really, really long time. They landed on Mars, they were supposed to only last for 90 days, and they lasted for more than a decade each. And that is very interesting because that means that there was so much image from Mars that was gathered. And I saw some of the images that were really, really, really good looking. They were really well. And the last image, for those that you can't see, the last image that the Opportunity sent back to Earth was not even completely finished. It started transmitting it and then it shut off. The storm was so bad that the Opportunity shut off and it just completely died out of power due to the sandstorm. And the image appears black based on the storm. Basically it covered the lens and you couldn't see anything, and then it shut off. It didn't even finish the transmission and it just shut off. And it's kind of sad because that exploration into Mars, basically the purpose of it is to find out if there's life on Mars. And they did find some bacterial life form on Mars, which is very interesting. And there's a lot of theories that Mars used to have oceans, that Mars used to have water. And they did find that Mars on the poles, it did have signs that that once had water. It once used to have water. What happened to it, we still don't know. We're still trying to find out, and NASA and every scientist that works on the NASA project and that works on the Mars project, they're still trying to find out for that. And it's very interesting because it kind of gets you into the mood of, okay, so this is happening. I want to know more, at least in my perspective, because I'm an astronomy lover, and I really want to know more about this. I'm really excited for this. So, in another piece of news, Engadget reports that Samsung stops releasing Blu-ray players in the US. So, no more Blu-ray. So, we're starting to see the death of Blu-ray right here. The thing of Blu-ray is that it was a like the competition to DVDs. It was the next step in home entertainment. First was the VHS. Before that, there were more stuff. But I'm going to start by the ones that I remember that I used to have and that I used to actually play on loop most of the time when I was a little kid, because I used to have a lot of movies that I would play on repeat. And it started from VHS, at least to me. It started on VHS, and then after that went to DVDs, and then after that it went to Blu-rays. So, what was innovative about Blu-ray was that it had more capacity, it had better film quality, and it was just astonishing. Like, the shift from VHS to DVD was big, and from DVD to Blu-ray was even bigger. Like, I remember when I first got my hands on a Blu-ray and a Blu-ray player, I put that sucker in, and my goodness, I was blown away by the quality. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I used to have a lot of good memories with Blu-rays when it started. I went all giddy like a little kid, and I was like, I want to get this movie. But here's the catch. Blu-ray is more expensive than DVDs. Like, all of you know that Blu-ray costs at least twice, and sometimes up to three times what a DVD would actually, you know, cost in terms of special editions and director's cuts and all that stuff. And it was actually very revolutionary, but it was expensive. But it eventually caught on, just like DVDs did, and eventually their prices started to drop because DVDs were actually being phased out. There's still some DVDs around there for those that don't own a Blu-ray player or anything, but we're starting to see the end of Blu-ray already. First was the end of VHS. You'll never see a VHS there unless you go to a collector's store. Then there's the DVDs. DVDs are starting to die out thanks to Blu-ray. And now Blu-ray is starting to die out thanks to people like Netflix and Hulu and all of those streaming services. Like, YouTube even has its own streaming services, for God's sakes. And they're starting to be phased out because of that. And that means we're getting into an era that doesn't rely on a physical thing in order to watch movies. You can just watch. Yes, you'll need a physical thing, like, oh, per se, a computer or a TV, but or an Apple TV or a Chromecast or any other streaming device that can support Netflix, Hulu, and all the streaming programs. But we're starting to shift into a more digitized area and a more digitalized era where we don't need those types of things. And I understand that they're trying to phase out Blu-ray players and basically, you know, focus on other stuff, which is kind of sad for those who like physical copies of stuff. For example, in my case, I would love to have physical copies of stuff. I just hope that my Blu-ray doesn't die on me, because that'll be terrible. Because now Samsung won't even give them, and who knows who might follow soon. But, you know, let's just wait and see. But for now, digital downloads and Netflix and Hulu are the big things right now. Hence why Blockbuster, for example, went out of business. But hey, that's another thing entirely. They didn't know how to keep up with the times. But hey, Netflix did make an offer to Blockbuster in order to get bought, but Blockbuster just shrugged them away, and look what happened to them. So we'll see how this goes, but I'm a little bit sad, because these were things that I actually enjoy, like popping up a DVD or popping up a Blu-ray into my Blu-ray player or DVD player and just sitting down and watching TV. I can do that with Netflix now and everything, but I don't know, the feeling is not the same, at least for someone that likes physical stuff, like a DVD or a Blu-ray or a VHS, you know, stuff like that. But hey, what are you gonna do? You gotta keep up with the time. So, well, we'll see it to the end. Blu-ray, you have been the best. Thank you for giving us the new era of watchable DVDs. Of watchable media when the DVDs were starting to get a little bit obsolete. So thank you. You've been a great man. We'll see you on the other side. So anyways, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Cutting Edge Tech. It's been an amazing ride. It's been 3 episodes now, and we're going to continue to do more. At least I'm going to continue to do more because I'm enjoying this. I'm really pumped for this, so let's get to it. All right, we'll see you here on the next episode. Thank you for joining me here on The Cutting Edge Tech. And remember, keep it techie, my friends. Cutting Edge Tech is a technology news podcast focused on the latest news that occurred during the week between episodes. The opinions expressed in this podcast are strictly from the host and should not be taken as absolute facts. If you'd like to suggest a news article to be discussed in the podcast, send it to me at cutting.edgetechpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear them. Thank you, and see you in the next episode. And remember, keep it techie, my friends.